response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hey, moms, dads, teachers, and coaches, visit PNCAchieversBaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Cadenceville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Tuesday night at the yard, some timely hitting gets the Birds back in the win column.
Rutschman left center field. That's a carbon copy. Two RBI singles in the game, both the other way, and the Orioles open the lead up to 5-1.
The call from Kevin Brown on Masson. Adley drives in Gunner in the bottom of the seventh, the 2019 draft special right there, as the O's take a 5-1 lead. They'd hold on and take game one from the Astros by a score of 5-3. Samuel Basayo would get in on the hit parade as well, going 2-for-4 with an RBI, and Pete Alonso would go yard, a two-run shot in the fifth, his fourth of the year. Not to be outdone by the bats, starter Shane Boz looked good as he captured the first win of his Orioles career, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball, striking out six. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the three-game set. And the fam will get you prepped with Baltimore baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, live from Pickles Pub, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. If you love playing Ms. Pac-Man, you'll really love playing the new Ms. Pac-Man Scratch-Off from the Maryland Lottery. Please play responsibly. Ms. Pac-Man is registered and copyrighted by BNEI. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
And Adley strokes one through the vacant left side. His ninth RBI in five games since his return from injury.
Whoa.
Pete Alonso out to right field. Some opposite field pop for Pete Alonso. His fourth home run as an Oriole. A bunt laid down to third. Alexander, the defensive replacement, throws him out to end the ball game. That's why he's in there. Helsley with a 1-2-3 ninth, and the Orioles take the opener 5-3 with the Astros.
Yeah, I would say it's up there. I definitely, I'm biased, obviously. Get to watch these guys every day, watch them work, and yeah, I'd definitely say we had the best catching tandem. Like I said, I'm biased, but no, they're doing a great job at the plate. Their at-bats have been awesome. I've been doing a great job of leading our pitching staff, which is the biggest thing for me, is how they influence every decision on that side of the ball, and doing a great job being prepared and working with our guys.
That's Craig Albernaz, Orioles skipper, talking after the win, 5-3 over the Astros, about his catching tandem of Adley Rutschman and Samuel Basayo. Both guys, by the way, scorching hot at the plate. But liking what they bring to the equation from behind the plate. And we can start getting into, can Adley throw out runners? Is the pitch framing up to snuff? The pass balls? Basayo probably has a stronger arm. Etc., etc. But this is a great dilemma to have. And what I liked, not that Craig Albernaz gives a crap what I think, last night both Adley and Basayo went to the opposite field. And Basayo's starting to do a lot of left-on-left damage here. As of late, had the hit last night off the reliever, hit his home run on Sunday off the starter for the Boston Red Sox. So his bat is all of a sudden starting to cook. Slugging percentage is up to .468 because he's making his damage done. And Adley Rutschman, since he came off the IL, I say, wait a minute, is that Johnny Bench over here?
Right.
Is that Pudge Rodriguez? No, that's the All-Star Adley from 2023 of 2024 going the opposite way. The ribby total has been insane. since last week. So if we want to talk about two guys starting to really get it together offensively, it's the catching duo. So the Orioles have problems. Last night, they didn't look like a team that had problems. Nunez scuffled a little bit, but he's been great for most of the season in the back end of the bullpen. They were outstanding last night. One of the cleanest games they played. Mayo made a great play at third base with help from Pete Alonso. Alonso himself was looking like a young Bob Haney at first base, diving all over the bag, making great plays. And then Blaze Alexander, as you heard Kevin Brown on the call, end of the game, a Manny Machado-like effort as Helsley picked up the save as he had a clean ninth inning. And he's had ducks on the pond. Is the whip not ideal? But, you know, seventh save nonetheless. So the Orioles get off to a quick start. Shane Boz rides that start, picks up his first win as an Oriole. Doesn't get the air quotes quality start because he didn't go six. And quality start by definition, I don't know who made up this rule, but whatever. Six innings, three earned runs or less, which is a 450 earned run average. And Nolan, you're going to hear too. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob, Haney, Vinny, Serato, Quick Draw, Other Side of the Glass, Woman Crush Wednesday. To me, 5 2/3, one run, greater than 6 innings, 3 runs or less. Now, if it's 6 innings and 1 run, then you qualify for the quality start, which I guess would probably be in some sort of contract language. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, you got 17 quality starts this year where you go to the negotiation table. But hey, you give up 1 run and 5+, that's a quality start to me. And Boz really wanted to get out there, and we'll hear from him later, and get through the six. But Albie made the prudent move, went to the bullpen. Enrico Garcia has not, one of the few players, has not felt the wrath of the Vinny and Haney schlep rock.
Yeah.
Usually you come on this show, you're getting hurt or going to the minors. But he's been dealing. He did give up his first hit, but, you know, no harm, no foul there. So he was outstanding. And how about Andrew Kittredge? Got himself into a jam and then pitched himself out of said jam. And then Albie walking Alvarez to load the bases. By the way, Alvarez having like triple crown numbers so far this season, turned out to be a brilliant move. So the Orioles, yeah, they've won 14 games. Most of them have been tight. Not all of them have been things of beauty. They got hits with runners in scoring position. They didn't. I mean, Jackson got picked off. Okay. All right, we'll find one thing to complain about because the Orioles do tend to get picked off a lot. So there's a problem. But Nolan and Vinny, I think that was one of the cleaner games that they've had for the most part. Yes, Nunez gave up a couple of runs. Jackson got picked off, but they got their hits. They played their D. All right, Beavers had the ball down right field line, Mayer, and then he, you know, misplayed in the corner and missed the, whatever. All right, like I said, one of the cleaner, not the cleanest, one of the cleaner games they played.
I'll say this, Bob. They got off to a good start. You know what I mean? They got a run in the first inning, which to me, they haven't been doing that. So Boz got a little, you know, got a little freedom a little bit there. You got the lead right away. And like you were saying, Bob, I mean, Rutschman looks, he looks like he did that first year. I mean, he's got such control to strike zone and stuff. And Basile, you know what he reminds me of? Like growing up, you know, where I grew up in Minnesota, Rod Carew was like that, always hitting to the left side.
Yeah, and with much more immense power. You know what I mean?
Well Basile has the power. I mean, but
Carew,
I'm just saying,
one of my favorite players.
But I'm just saying, like, he just sticks that bat out and puts it down the left field, not, you know, because they got the shift over. You know, so, I mean, to me, that's impressive for a 21-year-old dude.
And you could see him getting to the batter's box, him and Adley, just with they're taking care of business. And you can see it. And yeah. Adley's bat speeds, we haven't seen this in a long, long time.
There is a need and there is space for both of them in the lineup.
Hell yeah.
I wouldn't even call it a good problem because it's not a problem to begin with is how I would view it. I'm with you. Clean game last night. But it shows you, Major League Baseball, how thin the margin is between what we would describe a clean win and an absolutely crushing, disastrous loss. That seventh inning, that was the game right there for me. You know, you put two in scoring position with just one out. The decision to even leave Kittredge in, I thought, could be viewed as gutsy. Then the Yordan intentional walk, oh my God, we're going balls to the wall here. and to not only get out of it, to get out of it when you were, what, who was the next batter? You were behind 3-0, and then you come out with the punch out, and then the final punch out to get us.
Isak Paredes.
Right, who's a big threat with the power as well.
And he's been a pain in the ass to the Orioles before.
So that's one of those where, you know, I don't think a lot of people were going to be chomping at the bit to call in today and say, wow, what a great decision by Craig Albernaz. But it does need to be said, because if the opposite happened, right, Kittredge gets left in there, he gives up a run, all of a sudden we got a crazy closer game than it should be going into the eighth and ninth, we'd be getting ripped all day. That's what would happen. Oh, what's he doing? Terrible decision. Can't manage the bullpen, blah, blah, blah. It's such a thin line between this stuff. And for the fan, it's always, well, if it doesn't work, it was a bad decision. If it does work, hats off to the manager. So you know what today? Let's give a little credit where it's due.
No doubt about it. And it's good to see the offense start to percolate just a little bit more here. And we're starting to see guys get it together. Gunner looks like he's got it semi-figured out. Not totally, but semi. Taylor Ward's been outstanding all season long, not hitting the home runs the Orioles expected for a guy that's hit almost 60 in the previous 2 years combined. He has just one, but Rutschman and Vasayo, as we said, Tavares has been steady. Same with Jackson at the back end. But Pete Alonso, I think this is when you know that maybe he's starting to get himself together. He hits, drives that ball to right center field. That's when he's starting to get in the home run zone. He's not blasting him like Aaron Judge can hit him at a Yellowstone Park, but you get it. Judge pulls a lot, and Alonso can too, but Alonso, he goes to right field, right center field, and I think his last two home runs have been
to the
opposite field. And last night's was huge because it gave the Orioles some breathing space before the Astros made a little bit interesting there in the seventh and eighth inning. So that's good. And Alonso at the bag, hey, I'm pretty impressed with what he's doing so far.
I mean, Bob, because, I mean, I never watched the Mets. You know, I mean, so you hear that he's not a great defensive player. He's made a lot of good defensive plays for the Orioles. A
couple more last night. Had the scoop on the Mayo throw.
Mm-hmm.
The diving stop down the right field line. So, hey, the old polar bear. Strong game last night, my friend.
Yeah. I think the poor defense or the mediocre defense labels, it wasn't a product of effort. I'll tell you that. I mean, this guy will lay out and go for anything, but it was just a matter of actually executing. We'll see over a full season if it kind of comes back down to where he's normally been, but early portion of the season, first base, without seeing the full cast of what everyone else is doing around the league, I think Pete's certainly making the case for early Gold Glove consideration just off the flashy plays.
And Boz gets his first win. Now he had trapping in the first inning, and he only walked one guy, but he gave up scattered six hits. So, first win as an Oriole. I still like the upside with this guy. He's young.
Mm-hmm.
He's already been through the Tommy John hell. I mean, he went through a full season last year with the Rays. So, he's way removed from that. But that velocity plays. And he's got that high 90s fastball. When he can start working his secondary pitches, I mean, that curveball is kind of a blasting thing that can be very dominant. It was good to see from my Shane Boz last night. But, like most Oriole starters, there's always ducks. I mean, the Astros were 2-for-14 with runners in scoring position last night. A lot of ducks on the pond. Elmer Fudd would have a field day watching the Orioles starting pitchers put runners out on base there.
And traffic aside, I thought he was relatively efficient, at least through the first five, to the point where I was looking at his pitch count thinking, hey, he could go seven here. You know, after the Alonso homer, now we got a little breathing room. He's dealing right now. And then it gets on you in a hurry where can't even get through the sixth. So that's the next step. Is all right, last night, by no means am I complaining. That was winning effort. That was exactly what they needed. Everything you could have asked for. Next step, get deeper and save the bullpen a little bit.
And that's with him, Bradish, and Trevor Rogers, who all of a sudden has kind of been scuffling. Now, Chris Bassett's scheduled to pitch tonight. Weather doesn't look ideal. If I could control the weather, I'd be doing much greater things with my life than doing sports talk on a Wednesday here in Baltimore City. But it doesn't look good. But Chris Bassett needs to start getting it together a little bit as well. But they win. They're playing a last-place team. Handle your business against them. And you move on to New York, taking on the Yankees, who are on fire right now in the American League's Eastern Division. It's Vinny Haney, Nola McGraw. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear from your favorite female artist or band, give us a call at 410-583-1057. What did you think of the Orioles last night? Granted, it's just one game. They're still below 500. They can even themselves tonight and get over 500 going into May, heading into the Bronx. Would that be acceptable? Here's the question. Orioles, if they're above 500, we know below 500 is unacceptable. No, duh. But if they're above 500, given everything that they've experienced through the end of March, through the month of April, would that be acceptable enough for you? Because they're starting to get healthy in the bullpen, and some of these bats look like they're finally coming out of slumberland here.
If you're thinking about it,
every day,
we're talking about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
105.7 The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show. 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, send request, plus for text line. It's 410-583-1057. It sounds like the Go-Go's.
Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah, technically not the Go-Go's. Lead singer of the Go-Go's. It's like Ozzy and Sabbath. There's Ozzy songs, and then there's Ozzy with Black Sabbath. So, Nolan, you are correct. This is Belinda Carlisle, not the Go-Go's.
You know me, always a technicality guy.
That is correct. And you're a big Go-Go's and Belinda Carlisle fan, too. By the way, drummer for the Go-Go's from Baltimore, Gene Shock. Or Dundalk, technically, but you get the gist. Orioles win last night. That's good. Broke a two-game skid, had that day off. Shane Boz picks up his first win. Pete Alonso goes opposite field for his fourth homer. Adley had two ribbies. Basayo's on fire. Defense was stout for the most part. Helsley picked up his seventh save of the year. Game two of the series coming up tonight. Orioles can win it, get back to 500. Question is, if they're over 500, acceptable? Under 500, it speaks for itself. No, this isn't where you want to be, but given everything, is it just window dressing? It's only delaying the inevitable, the collapse, because Tampa's playing really good baseball right now next to the Yankees. But getting over 500, what would that make you feel like? Because we had people like Cliffy. Would it be talked down from the ledge after the Red Sox series? Would it at least get you off the ledge to some level as they appear to be getting healthier? And some of the guys, offensively anyway, appear to be getting a little bit hotter. We got draft profiles coming up today, three of them. As a matter of fact, Ryan Wilson, speaking of the draft, CBSSports.com, he'll be joining us coming up at 11 o'clock. And the Ravens did sign Diego Pavia to a three-year deal.
Yeah, so I guess there's going to be competition.
They've been Fagnoni, because rookie minicamp's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday.
Closed to the media, is that correct?
One day. Saturday, the media can go, Bob, for the first 30 minutes. And then after.
That's some regular season stuff right there.
I mean, you know, because, Bob, man, it's not because George Allen, Harbs has had the media up in Giants. Munkin had, you know, for the voluntary mini camp, you know, for the veterans. They both had media at theirs, and we didn't have any media here. And Harb's always had the rookies, you know, you were able to go.
Yeah.
Because I remember going watching Lamar a couple times.
That's correct. And Tim Williams. Remember telling me Tim Williams looked like Lawrence Taylor for a couple of days.
Well, till he had to play 11-on-11.
OTAs, by the way, coming up in about 3 weeks out there at Winning Drive. But let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Bobby, Vinny. What's going on with y'all?
What's happening? Saw your boy Dustin last night with his nephew.
Oh, really?
Pickles, yep.
Yeah, yeah, I heard, man.
He was without you, and he seemed like a normal guy.
Oh, is that right?
Well, Rashawn, yeah. You just says, you go, really? And he says, yeah, I heard. Yeah. So, I mean, what is it?
Well, that's going to change this Friday, man. We're taking a trip to the Bronx. So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
I'm telling you from experience, pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes. We ready for it all, man. Yeah, you know, we ready for it all.
Come on, man.
Hey, but listen, man. So I want to talk about Pete Alonso, right? So his average, what is 198 batting average right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
12 RBIs, 4 home runs. Now, let me ask y'all something. Now, say we never signed Pete Alonso, right, and we just kept with Ryan Mountcastle at first base. Now, you telling me right now, Ryan Mountcastle will be batting below 200 right now and with worse stats than that?
He wouldn't be doing anything because he broke his foot running out of double.
Masai would probably be playing first.
Yeah.
Mountcastle is trying to make up for you. He's trying extra hard to earn a spot on the team, man. You know, and they're trying to chase him out of town. But Mountcastle, I like the guy. He's a nice guy, you know, very friendly.
Does TV commercials and everything. Rashawn, his power numbers, Mountcastle, and like you, I like him too. Mm-hmm. And we had him on the show after he hit his first home run. And it was during COVID where he hit it in a minor league stadium playing the Blue Jays. But his power numbers have gone down significantly over the years. Remember, he had 33 home runs, which is an Orioles record for a rookie in home runs. And he had 20, I believe, the next year. And it's been double digits and 23. He had the vertigo. I think he hurt his shoulder. And then 24, he had a myriad of injuries. Last year was a disaster. I don't know, man. Pete Alonso in the struggle realm, I think, still more productive than Ryan Mountcastle, unfortunately.
Okay.
But at least he's got car shield, so he's good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully be back. But, I mean, we can't even trade Mountcastle now because he's only with the 60 days.
Yeah.
So,
he's got
a
broken foot. He's in a cast right now.
Who wants a guy with one leg?
And he makes $7 million a year, too, by the way.
$7 million? That's not bad for a 28-year-old, huh? Or 29, whatever he is.
It's bad if you're a low-budget team and a guy's not playing.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that, man.
Alonso had a big game last night. Let's look at that.
Yeah, finally. But he's still 198.
It's all right.
198,
it's
though.
It's not even May 1st yet. Come on now. Come on, Rashawn. Stay out of trouble in New York. I'm telling you, don't pop off too much up there. It's 50,000 against two. I've been there and done that.
No. We're going up with some more people. My boy Jack and B-Mo around town, Brian and all them. So we're going to be at least 20 deep, you know.
Right.
You know, so we'll see how this goes.
All right, man.
I'll let y'all tomorrow, man.
All right. Thank you, Rashawn. I mean, Alonzo's coming off one of his stronger all-around games, and he's pining for Ryan Mountcastle, who's out for 2 months. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. Antonio, what's up?
Hi, how you guys doing?
How you doing, Antonio?
Good. Are the Orioles regretting that they didn't sign a top of the rotation starter in the offseason? Yeah. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Well, thank you. I'm sure there's always deep regret somewhere. Ranger Suarez is the guy that I wanted, who just twirled 8 innings, one-hit ball the other night against Boston, even though he'd been scuffling. Then Framber Valdez was always the guy to be, he's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Elias has connections with him at the Astros. Nobody else seems to want him. And then Detroit came in with crazy money. So regretting it, minus Eplin, now Kramer, no one really pitching like a number one, including your de facto number one, Trevor Rogers, possibly. But again, it's not even May 1st yet. We got to let this all play out, but these starters have to start getting deeper into games. And Rodgers is going in reverse. Boz took a positive step. And we'll see Bassett tonight, who's been Charlie Morton-like.
Yeah.
Not going full-on comparison, because I think he's got more left in the tank than Morton did when he was here last year. But he's been pitching like Charlie Morton did last April. So regret? Sure. Everyone regrets things, Antonio. But is it regret to the point where it's cost them the season? I would be more concerned with the fact they didn't address the outfield defense.
No doubt.
More than anything else. But we'll come back. Can we take phone calls, Nolan, when we come back? On the other side, Warren and Trippy. And if you want to get in, you can. We got draft profile coming up. Talking wide receiver. Ravens drafted two big wide receivers. We're going out to USC. Talk about one coming up around 10:45.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10, 105.7 The Fan. Got a hot take? The Plaza Ford text line, 410-583-1057. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles outlasted the Astros last night 5-3 with Adley Rutschman driving in a pair, Pete Alonso going yard, and Samuel Basayo staying hot with a 2-for-4 night. On the mound, Shane Boz got the W, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball while striking out 6. Shane had a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's beginning to show signs of the guy that the Birds invested a lot of money in moving forward. Here's skipper Craig Albernaz on another strong start by Boz.
Boz looked great today. He did a good job of getting the cutter going. He had all three fastball shapes going, the cutter, the sinker, and the four-seam. And four-seam had great life in the strike zone. And then when he's doing that, it just sets up the curveball. And the curveball had really good bite to it. Started just on the same plane as the heater, and it just disappeared. So he was really effective tonight, throwing strikes. It was really good outing for Shane.
Last night's start lowered Boz's ERA from 5.08 to 4.5, and he's pitched at least 5 innings in all 6 of his starts this season. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the 3-game series. And the fan will get you prepped with Baltimore baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30. First pitch is slated for 6:35. And in Ravens news, Baltimore signed a pair of undrafted QBs yesterday, giving 3-year deals to Vanderbilt product and former Heisman Trophy finalist Diego Pavia and UConn's Joe Fagnano. Those two will be present at the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Lincoln Tech. The jobs are out there. Are you ready for them? Enroll now at Lincoln Tech's Columbia campus. With hands-on training, you won't just learn it, you'll do it. Visit lincolntech.edu for more information. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
The Finney and Haney Show, sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor.
More just pitching to my strengths as opposed to, you know, trying to find holes and stuff like that. Doing what I'm good at, not being behind in the count.
Shane Boz picked up his first win as an Oriole last night. You heard during Joe LaCroix's update. He gets in 5. Hasn't gotten past the 6 yet. Almost did. Or through 6. 5 2/3. But he got the win. Only gave up a run. Bullpen did him a solid. As Rico, don't call me Kiko Garcia, and of course Andrew Kittredge did the high wire act to get it out of there. All right, Nunez gave up a couple runs. Things got a little dicey there in the 8th inning. And then Helsley picked up the win. But Shane Boz, you heard Craig Albernaz post-game. He's got 5 pitch stuff. He was a first-round draft pick. He's top-of-the-rotation guy. Nolan, remember we had Keith Law one after the Orioles traded for him from the Athletic. He said, this dude is a legitimate top-of-the-rotation-level talent. Haven't seen it. Had the Tommy John surgery. Got kind of teed off on last year, especially pitching in the Yankees spring training facilities for the Rays. But Orioles made a big trade. Traded my man Little Slay, among another among a bunch of prospects, and then extended it on top of it. So, Shane Boz, congratulations to you picking up the first win. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Who was that coming out of the break? That was Mariah Carey.
Right? Wow, you got it yourself. You don't need me. Yeah. That was Mariah Carey, man.
I actually used my Q-tips. Got my ears working today. Except for that Belinda Carlisle thing. But anyway, let's get out to the phones. Draft profile coming up in a couple of minutes. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Owings Mills. Warren, what's happening?
Morning, Bob and Vinny.
Morning.
Real quick, couple points. Bob, you have a great memory because you were right. You and Vinny weren't the ones that jinxed Garcia. I was teasing Nolan when he took my call. Remember last week, he was the one that brought up the 9 hitless innings and no runs.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was Nolan that jinxed him, not you guys. You guys are off the hook.
Damn you, Nolan.
Yeah, Nolan.
real quick, and Vinny, for a football guy, made a great point about Adley because Vinny said his batting eye is bad. And to me, I mean, he's barreling the ball. He's hitting to the opposite field. But remember, the year he was an all-star, he had an elite batting eye. He didn't chase. He made you throw strikes. And that's what I see with him this year. And let's hope, you know, as long as he and Basayo are hot, they need to be in the lineup every day. And the regular lineup needs to have Tavares in center field, Ward in left, and you can rotate Muscles and Beavers in right. Kowza does not need to play. And Alexander needs to be a late-inning defensive replacement like he was last night. And then really quick on Alonso. I don't know if you guys saw the most of the broadcast last night, but Rob Long was interviewing Jim Palmer, and Palmer that made the after the game, but Palmer made the point during the game that Alonzo is playing like a Gold Glove candidate at least, and he's been very impressive this year, digging balls out of the dirt and diving for balls. So I think his bat eventually is going to heat up, but I've been very impressed with his defense. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Warren. And with Adley, one of his major hit tools coming out of Oregon State, where he was the Golden Spikes winner, patience at the plate.
Yep, I remember that.
He was not a chaser. Then he got a little swing happy. Bat speed kind of declined a little bit. Maybe he was hurt. He says in the second half of 24, when the numbers just cratered, wasn't hurt. Took the foul ball off the wrist. I think there was a back issue that arose. Last year he had both obliques. How's that happen? Yeah. But it did. This year, it's just he looks like the guy they picked to be the face of the franchise. And with him and Basayo cooking at the same time, now, will this sustain itself? I have no idea. But right now, they're in a good place offensively with those two. And with Alonzo, kind of exceeding expectations defensively. I didn't expect JT Snow over at first base, and that's exactly what he's been doing right now. And if the bat starts to come alive, which history since 2019 says it will, then we're going to understand why he made some money. Ryan Ripken brought this up on BBT last night. You're on 105.7 The Fan. We'll be at Pickles, weather permitting, at 5:30, getting ready for game two. Me, Mike Bordick, and Joe LaCroix. Last July, he was terrible for the Mets, like .140 bad. And then in August, he just went bananas, 9 homers, hit well over .300. Now, the Mets as a team, they circled the drain. But he had that 1 month where he sucked. Maybe April is his one sucky month. And he still has 4 home runs, including last night, which was a key blast in their victory.
I think the thing that's impressive, Bob, is you know, a lot of times if you're struggling at the bat, especially when you're a batter, you know, I mean, you're known for your hitting, that your defense struggles. But his defense has really picked it up, which, you know, to me tells me a lot about the guy.
Well, you can't let one aspect affect you in other places, or you become a scrub. Now, Colton Cowser, for instance, offensively, the numbers speak for themselves.
Yeah.
It hasn't really affected him defensively, but his offense, what it's affecting is his playing time.
Yeah,
he's not.
Now, were you shocked last night?
I was a little surprised, but
when I looked at the lineup, I said, "Oh, Bob."
Well, Craig said, we'll call him Craig Albie, prior to the game press conference, because somebody asked him, I can't remember who it was, apologize, the question, what's up with Beavers, basically, and he said it's not anything, it's not a him thing, it's a fact that Tavares and Beavers are playing well, so it's not like the girls. Nolan, I mean, you've broken so many hearts in your young life. It's not you. It's me. No, it's not him. It's them.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I could say for Tavares, Beavers, you know.
Defensively, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. No, yeah. Offensively, he might bring a little more to the equation, but right-hander scheduled tonight for the Astros, so. And tomorrow afternoon, I believe. So we'll see. But that's, 4 or 5 games in a row? I get it. He's not playing against lefties. But this has been kind of splinter city for him, for sure. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I don't know what's up with the Orioles, man, but I'm going to just keep paying attention because I don't think y'all want to hear my comments, man. I don't know what's going on with them, man. But, I just wanted to chime in real quick, right? Hey, Bob and Benny, why Ravens fans, right? I know y'all talking about baseball, but I got to slide this in. Why every time we sign, like, a quarterback or something, you know what I mean? We need extra arms, you know what I mean? Because we don't want to go in week one, they talking about, Lamar Jackson, he got arm fatigue. You know what I mean? Like, we're bringing in extra arms because we need extra arms for practice, and fans are just crashing out. Like, I don't get it, but the Orioles, I'm glad Pete's starting to heat up a little bit, but like, come on, man, we need, I don't know what's up with the Orioles, man, but I don't know, I just wanted to call in and chime in with y'all, man. I love y'all so, man, keep doing y'all thing. Oh, and I might be going to New York this week.
Oh, damn.
Oh, I'm kind of scared now because Dustin going, man. I don't know, man. You know, I ain't no fighter now. No, but
you're a lover, and I hear you. But Dustin was on his best behavior last night. That's because Rashawn went there prodding him into some nonsense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, y'all enjoy y'all. See, I keep thinking today, Thursday. It's only Wednesday. Well, Thursday Eve. That's what I'm going to call it, Thursday Eve, man. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all Wednesday, okay?
All right, appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right, his point about the extra arms at training camp. Lamar's not going to be there this weekend, and they already extended Tyler Huntley, so there's your two quarterbacks. What is Fagnone and Pavia, what are they competing for here? Do they go with three? You got to have a practice squad guy.
If they keep three and a practice squad guy, then both, you know, they're competing for the third spot, really. But for training camp, you got to have four. You know, to divide all the reps up and stuff, you know, because there's so many guys out there, you divide the drills up. I mean, Harb's a lot, most of the times during training camp, they had like the third and fourth teamers were on one field and the ones and twos were on another field. So, you know, you need two at each. But I mean, Bob, you know, you talk about arm fatigue. I mean, come on. I mean, like when I was in San Fran, Bob, we had two a days. Steve Young was throwing twice a day every, I mean, come on, you know, it's not that difficult.
We'll come back. Get a draft profile in, going back to what the Ravens did this past weekend. Wide receiver, third-round draft pick out of USC. He brings size to the equation, but what other skill set is he going to bring to Declan Doyle's 2026 Ravens offense? Talk more about the draft with Brian Wilson, CBSSports.com, coming up at the top of the hour. Whip around, line 15, talk about the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs are both hot and heavy. Then Tony Pentee will go down on the farm. He's with OrielsHangout.com. Get an update on the Orioles prospects here on this Woman Crush Wednesday.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
We will look ahead to Chris Bassett's start against the Astros. Yesterday, we talked about the biggest problems surrounding the O's. Well, today, we will get into the biggest pleasant surprises. Also, who are the winners and losers player-wise following the Ravens draft? We'll tell you.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The true stunner round one of the NFL draft was the Rams selecting Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson at 13th overall as a succession plan for Matthew Stafford. But here's the thing. The Rams are a Super Bowl favorite this year, and Ty Simpson doesn't help them win this year. And after the draft, Sean McVay, Rams head coach, did not look happy about the pick. My prediction, once Matthew Stafford retires, Sean McVay leaves Los Angeles and takes over with full control elsewhere. I'm Nick Costos.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey. And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles, 105.7 The Fan.
Not knowing when or where the call is going to be from, I think that was where it came from, rather than having an attitude, not hearing my name called. But catching passes from Lamar Jackson, if that doesn't put a smile on your face, I don't know what will. And then in that same sense, if he turns on the Jets and gets past the line of scrimmage, I'll be sure to get on my man and block downfield.
NFL draft profiles continue on here on this Vinny and Haney week. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. We've gotten through, what, six so far? We still have plenty more to go. And we'll start today, wide receiver. Yesterday, Vinny broke down Elijah Surratt out of Indiana, went to St. Francis High School here in Baltimore. But let's go out west. USC Trojan, Jacoby Lane.
Yeah, Jacoby Lane, USC, 6'4 and 3/8. Tall receiver, big receiver, 200 pounds, lean frame. Ran 4.47, 1.58.10. For a tall guy, that is a very good 10-yard dash because normally long guys are long striders. 32 5/8 arm, which is good arm length. 10 1/4 hands, that's huge mitts. 40-inch vertical, awesome. 10-9 broad, that's awesome. He's a junior. Youngest draft pick that they had. I was telling Bob off air, every other draft pick, they're seniors. They're all old dudes. And which one was it? Bob Hibner was born in 01. We have one that's 25. You know, we got a lot of 23, 24, 25-year-olds.
Yeah, one of them was playing college football when Jalen Smith was playing for Mark Turgeon in Maryland.
Yeah, that's the seventh-round old lineman. He played at South Dakota. He played 6 years at South Dakota State and then played at Northwestern. So, yeah, he's older than Nolan. All right, so Jacoby Lane, 2023, played in six games as a reserve, seven catches, 93 yards, averaged 13.3, two touchdowns. 2024, 43 catches, 525, 12.2 average, eight starts. He was a Las Vegas Bowl MVP, 7 for 127 and three touchdowns. He had a hell of a game. Now in 2025, this year, because it's not like he didn't have a talented dude on the other side. I mean, he had what, the 20th pick of the draft?
Yeah, Malachi.
You know? So he was honorable mention all Big Ten, Jacoby. 49 for 745, 15.2 average, four touchdowns. Now his strength, he's got excellent height and length. He'll catch in traffic. That's his thing. Good line awareness. What's line awareness? The toe touch on the sidelines. He has good body control for his size. Good concentration. Now, this dude takes some shots over the middle. He takes some shots. He'll take a hit. He'll catch it in his hands. He's got excellent hands. He'll go up and get the ball at its highest point. He's really good in the red zone. Good body control for size. He can track a deep ball. Has build-up speed. Smart, can find holes in zone, good adjust to the ball. Huge target, wins in traffic. 16 touchdowns over the last 2 years in the red zone. Smart in zone, he can find holes, knows how to use his frame to get open. Basically, he's playing basketball. You know, he boxes people out. Weakness, lean frame, he is not a strong runner. Easily tackled after the catch. He needs more strength. We'll need more strength versus press coverage. Because what I'm going to do to him, if he's lined up out there, I'm coming up, I'm jamming the heck. I'm not letting him off that line of scrimmage. He needs to develop more of his route tree. He doesn't separate, long strider. We'll need work blocking. TDs went from 12 to 4 in 25 with more targets. I guess that's probably Malachi, you know, probably. And Bobby had 11 drops over his last 2 years. Concentration drops, because he has good hands. Now, in summary, Jacoby's a big, long receiver that can win in the red zone with length, plays above the rim. He'll need to get stronger to handle press in the NFL. He'll need to work on his route tree. He does show verticals, some vertical speed. He'll have to develop more of a route tree, but he does have body control, which tells me that he can become a good route runner with work because you need body control. You got to be able to sink your hips. You got to be able to get your pads over your toes, you know, and you got to be able to plant your foot and drive and come back, you know, to do all those things. But in the red zone, this guy is special in the red zone right now. I mean, he's coming in, him and Surratt, Bob. I don't know if, you know, you put both of them in or whichever guy kind of shows that he's ready. But, I mean, you got a guy who's 6'4". And a half, basically, and vertical's 40 inches. So, I mean, you can go up above. Most corners are 5'10", 6 foot. You know, just throw it high, Lamar. You know, so I think he and Surratt got a chance, and especially Jacoby, to really be red zone candidates.
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com, projected him, Lane, to be a fourth or fifth round pick. Ravens took him in the third.
Okay. You know, I mean, he's got a specialty right okay. now. You know, I mean, right now he's got to get stronger because he's not a yak guy at all. So right now, you know, I'm going to use him like Surratt. I love on back shoulder. Surratt's a lot stronger of a guy, stronger body, you know, and he's a good contested catch guy, but Surratt is awesome back shoulder. Jacoby is really good in the red zone. Like we said, 16 touchdowns in the red zone. So,
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We have more profiles coming your way, so stick around. We're going to talk. Defensive line, right?
We got Benny, the defensive lineman out of Michigan, and Rivers, the nickelback from Duke, who's a really good player.
So we'll get into all of that good stuff moving forward. Stay on the draft when we come back with Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Boy, did he do his due diligence getting ready for this thing. And he's already looking ahead to 2027, whip around Lem 15, and then Tony Pente will go down on the farm with the Orioles as the Birds on the major league level. They won last night 5-3. Shane Bass, congratulations. First win as an Oriole, but we'll talk about the baby Birds down at the affiliates here.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey everybody, it's your buddy Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at giant food stores, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the Apple or in the App Store or the Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries that you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? Family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought there has to be a smarter way to do this. And I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now. Use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any giant food store. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. What are you waiting for? Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. What are you waiting for? Let's do this. Download the free Upside app now using my limited promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any giant food store. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.